Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, April the 13th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us day by day. We recognize that without you we can accomplish nothing. And so we ask that you continue to fill us with truth, that our lives might follow you in every regard. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today we've reached the first chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we begin at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, in God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Review and Herald, July the 31st, 1888, beginning at paragraph 3, says this: In the days of the Apostle Paul, the Thessalonian brethren were laboring under the erroneous impression that the Lord would return in their day, and Paul wrote to correct this false impression, stating what events would transpire before the advent could take place. He declared, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The man of sin was to arise and do his work of exaltation and blasphemy, before the brethren could look for the coming of Christ. That great event was to be preceded by a falling away. There would be revealed a form of Antichrist, and the leaven of apostasy was to work with increasing power to the end of time. We are not to be surprised beyond measure to see the widespread declension of faith and piety. I have been bearing my testimony for the last 40 years that there would be those who would fall away from the path cast up for the ransom to the Lord to walk in. God has been sending warnings, reproofs, and encouragements to his people. He has warned them that some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. From the beginning, it has been the special doctrine of the adversary of God and man that the law of God was faulty and objectionable. He has ever represented the royal law of liberty as oppressive and unendurable. He has denoted it a yoke of bondage, He has declared that it was impossible for man to keep the precepts of Jehovah. This has been and still is the work of Satan. This is a seductive doctrine that devils are seeking to spread throughout the world. No law is the cry of the enemy of God. Shall we go over to the side of the great rebel? If we do, it will be our ruin. Shall we make void the law of God because Satan tells us that we should be more free and happier if we would do so? Were Adam and Eve happier? And did they walk in more liberty when they received and acted upon the suggestions of the evil one? Shall we say we have been deceived in regard to the doctrine of Christ's near coming? Shall we declare that all our talking of his appearing has been in vain? Shall we say that all our work to make ready a people prepared for his coming has been for naught? Never. We are not to become impatient and fretful because time still lingers. We are to wait patiently for the work of God to be accomplished. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto doubts and unbelief and apostasy, no, but unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. We must have a knowledge of the scriptures, that we may trace down the lines of prophecy, and understand the specifications given by the prophets, and by Christ, and the apostles, that we may not be ignorant, but be able to see that the day is approaching, so that with increased zeal and effort, we may exhort one another to faithfulness, piety, and holiness. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Here is a most solemn statement, and one which should often be presented to souls, to show them the danger of entering into sin after they have received a knowledge of the truth of God. We would warn men and women off this ground. All would do well to remember, when tempted to leave the straight path of right, that those who received a knowledge of the truth, when they apostatize, they sin willfully, and they transgress the law of God. For sin is the transgression of the law. For such there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sin. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Questioners, doubters, and apostates say to those who have been looking for the appearing of their Lord, ye are false prophets. Ye have been telling us for years that it was but a little while until the day of God's returning and that God would break. But it is evident that Christ will not come for many, many, many more years. Are you not afraid to make such statements? Has not Christ described you in the person of the unfaithful servant who said, my Lord delayeth his coming? And who began to eat and to drink with the drunken, and to smite his fellow servants? The inspired word declares, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God spoke repeatedly of his second coming to the earth. At one time he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. More than 1800 years have passed since he who spake as never man spake uttered these words. He who could utter nothing but truth made this assertion, which implied that the hour was at hand, but the dead are still in their graves. The life giver's voice has not yet called the sleeping saints from their gloomy prisons, but we have not lost faith because the predicted hour has not yet arrived. We work on, trusting and believing and waiting, not taking one step backward, but obeying the orders of the captain of our salvation, whose command to his people is, go forward. The hour will come. It is not far distant. And some of us who now believe will be alive upon the earth and shall see the prediction verified and hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God echo from mountain and plain and sea to the uttermost parts of the earth. All creation will hear that voice. And those who have lived and died in Jesus will respond to the call of the Prince of Life. It will be heard in the dungeons of men, in the caverns of the deep, in the rocks and caves of the earth, only to be obeyed. It is the same voice that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The same voice which said, thy sin be forgiven thee. All those who have obeyed that voice, when it said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, will hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. To them that voice will mean rest, peace, and everlasting life. They will recognize it as the voice of one who has been touched with the feelings of their infirmities. Shall anyone become weary now? Shall anyone say the city is a great way off? Shall we give up our faith and draw back onto perdition when we are nearing the eternal world? No, no, God lives and reigns. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Give up our faith? Lose our confidence? Become impatient? No, no. We will not think of such a thing, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The Christian is represented by the figure of the earth, which drinks in the rain that comes upon it, and brings forth fruit to the one who dresses and cares for it. The follower of Christ is to gather sap and nourishment from the living vine. He is to produce fruit to the glory of God. The Lord requires that every plant in his garden should be thrifty and bear fruit in abundance, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. We are not to be satisfied with monetary flashes of light, but we are constantly to seek for the illumination of the Spirit of God. It is our privilege to study the word of truth and to obey it. We are not safe unless we are often bound before God, offering up in faith fervent and effectual prayers. We must draw water from the wells of salvation. We must raise the soul from its common earthliness into a heavenly atmosphere, which will purify, elevate, and refine it for the paradise of God. Those who keep the commandments of God have a right to appropriate the rich promises that he has given. Well may the children of God be filled with hope and courage, with joy and rapture, as they contemplate the things which God has prepared for them that love him. For what is our hope or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when ye shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Was Christ a false prophet when he uttered these words? More than 1800 years before passed, more than 1800 years have passed since John heard this great truth. And the Lord has not yet come to reign. But shall we give up looking for his appearance? Shall we say, my Lord delayeth his coming? See how the specifications of the prophecies have been and are fulfilling. Let us lift up our heads and rejoice, for our redemption draweth nigh. It is nearer than when we first believed. Shall we not wait patiently, filled with courage and faith? Shall we not make ready a people to stand in the day of final reckoning and judgment? The disciples of Christ are required to represent their Lord to the world. They have been set as torchbearers on the road to heaven. The light is not given to any soul to be put onto a bushel or under the bed, but to be put on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house. If we are neglecting any duty, or shrinking from any responsibility, or avoiding any position of trust for which the Lord has qualified and called us, we are not letting our light so shine that men, seeing our good works, may glorify the Father which is in heaven. We should everyone be active and enterprising in trading with the talents which God has given us. We must work in faith. We must not allow doubts to cloud the mind. We must not allow our attention to be drawn from Jesus to our surroundings. The lower lights must be kept burning. Jesus is the light, the great light, which lights every man that comes into the world. All heaven is interested in the conflict that is going on in the world between truth and error, light and darkness. The great source of all light is constantly shining, and those who will catch its rays and will reflect them upon others will be the light bearers in this darkened world. We're not pleasing God when we permit our minds to dwell upon our imperfections, mourning constantly over our conditions, with our eyes directed continually upon our mistakes and errors. Come to Jesus. He is the light of the world. Take hold of his strength by faith and make peace with him. Shall you talk of your weakness? No, no, for that pleases the enemy. Dwell upon the great help that has been provided for you in Jesus, your Redeemer. If we would dwell in the light, we must abide in the presence of Jesus. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In all our business meetings, as well as our social and religious meetings, we want Jesus by our side as a guide and a counselor. There will be no tendency out to lightness where the presence of the Savior is felt and recognized. Self will not be made prominent. There will be a realization of the importance of the work that is to be done. There will be a great desire that the plans to be laid may be directed by him who is mighty in counsel. Could our eyes but be opened, we would behold the angels of heaven in our assemblies. Could we but realize this, there would be no desire to hold to our own opinions upon little and unimportant points, which so often retard the progress of the meeting and the work. If there was more real praying done, if there was more solemn consideration given to weighty and mighty matters, the tone of our business meetings would be changed and elevated. All would feel that the assembly had met to lay plans for the future advancement of the work, and that the aim and object of the work is only to save souls. Today, God is calling us to fulfill the obligation that he has placed upon us, to do the work and to exemplify the character that he has made available to us. Today, God is calling me. God is calling you to do that which we have been placed and given an opportunity to fulfill. Will we do that today? Will we ask for forgiveness and then ask for the strength and the ability and the direction necessary so that we might fulfill all that we have been placed in hand to do? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given so much, that you have instructed so much, that you have made available to us the opportunity to be servants and helpers in spreading the gospel to the world. We thank you for that responsibility that you've given. But we know that we cannot fulfill it except we trust in you and allow your guidance to lead. And so we ask today that you would first forgive us our sins, forgive us for overlooking the opportunities that were available, and help from this moment on that we will fulfill the obligations that you have placed upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, April the 13th, 2020.